get your loafers.
Yeah, I love the horns, man.
What do they call that? Stanky leg?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's nothing like real horns, man. I mean, the synth horns, you can just tell, you know? Oh, the guitar making a little noise up in there.
He's off in the back of the corner. The horns took the front of the stage.
Yeah, that's right.
This could almost be your theme song when you come out on stage for your speaking engagement.
It sounds like that, doesn't it? Like, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Deacon Harold. Then when we get a budget, we can get real horns on stage. That'd be nice.
I just love the breathiness. I mean, you could certainly tell real horns and synth horns. As good as those patches are on the synth, you know, there's nothing like the breathiness and the punch of real horns. Love it.
Yeah, so good.
All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a Beacon of Truth playlist episode. We're taking a look at the song Kyrie by Mr. Mister. That is a song that Ace and I are going to take a look at today. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Of course, we're always excited when we get a chance to check out Podcast Central, because great shows like Sunday Catholic Word gives us a deeper dive into the mass readings for each week. So if you want a better understanding, or maybe something really connected and you want to go back and reflect on it from different perspectives within those of like faith, you can do that. Easy to find when you go to Podcast Central, ewtn.com/podcast, and just look for Sunday Catholic Word.
All right, my friends, a special Beacon of Truth playlist episode today. We're taking a look at Kyrie, the song by Mr. Mister. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Mr. Mister was a popular band back in the 80s. And this song, Kyrie, was released on their album, Welcome to the Real World, that was released this has been my sophomore year in college, Christmas of 85. And it was number one song on the Billboard 100 back in March of 86 is when it hit number one, and where it was number one for a couple of weeks. And it also hit I think number one in a couple other countries as well. I think in UK it was number 11.
Yeah.
In March, in that same time for March of 86. So popular song, a lot of people know it. Do you know if Mr. Mister is still around, if they're touring or anything?
Not that I'm aware of. In getting ready for today's show, though, I did discover that they actually put, because it fit, they put the phrase Kyrie Eleison in, thinking there's no way pop radio will play this song. And then, of course, it went all the way to number one. So again, you can play with phrases that you think will somehow dismiss your song or dismiss, you know, the Lord, you know, da, da. But he's like, nope, you're going to say my name? Number one, baby. All the way.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So if we dive into the song here, so obviously it starts off Kyrie Eleison. And again, that's very, very familiar to Catholics listening, because that's the Greek for Lord have mercy. Mm-hmm. And so often in Mass, you hear them sing Kyrie Eleison, Christe Eleison, Kyrie Eleison. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. So the song starts off, Lord have mercy. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, when this song came out, If you weren't a person of faith, would you understand, like, you know, I don't think you would understand what that means or what they're saying.
Yeah, not
you
at
know,
all.
You know how you have songs like Blinded by the Light, remember that?
Sure.
By Manfred Mann and the Earth Band, and Blinded, and you say, blah, 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 blah. It's like, what? Wait, what are they saying there?
Yeah.
You know, what was that again? And you hear all kinds of wacky interpretation of what you think they're singing there. And I could imagine it would be the same for a song like this if people didn't know, what is that? They would, oh, wait, that's just Greek. You know, they wouldn't understand what that is I just wondered what people would think that thought that they were saying there.
Sure. Well, and it happened with Phil Collins' Sussudio. When he wrote the song, he
Oh,
just made up
yeah.
a jumble word thinking, oh, I'll fix it later. We'll put something in there that makes sense. And he couldn't. So for years, people were like, Googling, looking in the dictionary, what is Sussudio? What is he saying? What's the hidden message? He's like, nope, it's just a nonsense word. So I'm sure like everybody had to know what is Kyrie eleison. So I would think the education of that phrase became common in, that place of the 80s because people were seeking it out.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, so I just well, I wonder what the response well, obviously it's number one, so people really like the song. I think there's something to be said there for not shying away from your faith. You see some of the background. This was a traumatic incident that happened to one or more of the band members.
Yeah, they didn't necessarily specify what the traumatic event was, but in a day and age where articles and interviews were less about the band's personal life and more about their experiences on stage and playing to the persona of the rock star lifestyle or whatever, I feel like in this day and age, that would be the probing question. Well, tell us about that traumatic event, right? At least that's as an interviewer, that's what I would want to know is, well, what happened that brought you to this song? But yeah, I mean, I would think too, especially because John Lennon used to always say when you're writing a song, tell the truth and make it catchy or make it singable. And to me, to be able to sing the name of the Lord so freely, even if people don't necessarily understand the full meaning, there is still connotations that come with that, and they want to understand what am I singing? So again, we beacon of truth. We talk about the truth of God's word. What better way than in a song to be singing phrases that are just at the front of our lips? So that, again, like if you don't know what to pray, you're not sure where you are with God. I mean, Lord have mercy. I mean, that's just not a good-looking woman walked in the room and you had, a full house moment. You really are asking for God's aid.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And a good reminder for us, we should always be calling on the name of the Lord,
Amen.
right? Lord, have mercy. And so the verse, the wind blows hard against this mountainside, across the sea into my soul. So this immediately reminds me of the apostles in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and the wind is blowing hard and pushing against the boat, and Jesus sleeping in the back of the boat. And they're like, they're all freaking out. Oh, and they, Jesus, we're drowning. Don't you care? Are you going to save us? And Jesus rebukes the wind, which is also, you can see a foreshadowing of that in one of the Psalms as well. It talks about they sailed in the sea in ships, and the wind blew. And rattled the ship, but then God calmed the seas, and brought them to the haven that they desired, right? Which would be heaven. So obviously, this wind blowing is a reference to whatever they may be going through, and we feel like that sometimes as well, that the wind of whatever is happening that we're suffering with is rocking our world at the moment.
Well, and also, I love too the imagery of that because so much in worship music is this way where they're painting the pictures of mountains and oceans and sandy beaches and whatever, because it's the vastness, the endlessness of it, that either we're feeling consumed or we're feeling blessed, or it goes, the imagery there goes on so many levels. So I love how this starts in a, Lord have mercy mindset to the fact of God's vastness, of a worshipful moment of Lord, have I need your mercy and I am worshiping whatever you choose to give me in an abundance.
Yeah, and in fact, he says that this wind is blowing into my soul, so it's penetrating deeply. I mean, he's feeling this not just physically, but spiritually. It's affecting him at a deeper level of his being, which is what pain does. It's the pain of rejection, the pain of a physical ailment, the pain of when someone abandons us or cheats us or whatever it may be. But there's the physical pain that we feel, but then as we reflect on it, it goes deeper into our soul. And it says, it reaches into where I cannot hide, setting my feet upon the road. So, you can't hide from it. You can't turn from it. You can't avoid it. Whatever happening is happening. And he said, setting my feet upon the road. That's very interesting because now he said, okay, this wind is blowing. It's penetrating my soul. I can't hide from it. I can't run. And this is setting me on a path somewhere. Right? He realizes that this traumatic event is leading him someplace. He's now on a road. Maybe he's not on a road where he thought he was going, but now he's on a different road. And this road is leading him somewhere.
Well, and I think too, 'cause road images are used in so many songs anyway. So it's, the long and winding road, the, endless road, all these things, because again, as we do in our faith, as we you hear on this show a lot and others, is we're supposed to be on the narrow path, the narrow road that leads to Jesus, that leads to heaven, that thing, because again, if it was just wide, we'd all just fall on it by accident, right? There is a reason that it is narrow and that we're to stay focused with every step that we take. So I love the use of, setting my feet upon the road, because that's what God
Yes.
does, right? He sets us where we need to be rooted.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And it also reminds me of Isaiah, foreshadowing John the Baptist, the voice crying out in the desert, prepare the way to the Lord, make straight his paths. That the Lord will, whatever path that we're on, even though it may be jagged, rough, crooked, that the Lord, when we have him in our life, will help make it straight. Which again, the cry out, Lord, have mercy, asking the Lord to be present in those moments. I'm Deacon Harold Brooks. Everybody's listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're taking a look on our Beacon of Truth playlist episode at the song Kyrie A by Mr. Mister. And of course, we'd love for you to be part of the program. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com. All right. And so let's continue to verse 2. My heart is old. It holds my memories. My body burns like a gem-like flame. So a couple things here. My heart is old. But say you're in your 20s, right? But you're saying your heart is old. It doesn't mean, I don't think it means physically old, like, you have the heart of an 85-year-old. No. Why is it old? Because it holds my memories. Now think about that. If your memory is like a computer storage, think of how many terabytes of information will be stored there. Memories from going back to childhood. I say, even in your mid-20s, think of all the memories, the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the days, the months, the years of visual and audio memories that have been compiled. And you're only still in your 20s. That's why I think you said your heart is, in a sense, old, because of the memories that your heart holds. Your body like a gem-like flame. I think of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that flame coming from the heart of Jesus. That even in the midst of what's going on, our hearts are burning with love for God.
Well, I mean, it's a phrase we say a lot of times of, well, have you met so and so that they're an old soul? I mean, it's that way. I could easily say that about my kiddos just because in the way I raised them through music and then their own life experiences, right? Because you see things, and I think even there's a running joke of like Gen X, we were born 30 and we're still 30, right? It's that frame of mind of how you were raised or the traumatic things that you face really at an age that you're like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine that to a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old. But there's a part of you that has to grow up to embrace and to heal through that. And obviously, with God's help in a Lord have mercy situation on this child, on my soul, on theirs, on the relationship. But that's the beauty of God's mercy, is that He meets us where we are. And even if it ages us a little bit, the great thing is we can then be available to help other people who are about to go through the same thing.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And God is with us in that pain and with his mercy. So it may not feel that he is there, but he's definitely with us along the way. And it continues verse 2. So, this is interesting. Somewhere between the soul and soft machine is where I find myself again. What do you make of that verse?
Well, I mean, I think it's a matter of he's making choices that put him in a place that, okay, I said I wasn't going to be here again, or I didn't want to go down this path or this adventure, but it's we're all guilty of it, right? It's like, yeah, I've experienced this, and I refuse to go down that road ever again. I'm going to make better choices. And then in a moment of weakness or just emotional whatever, we go down there again. So I feel like that's his description of his own journey of why, okay, here I am again. Lord have mercy. Come on. I don't want to do this. Why am I doing this to myself?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think of people struggling with addictions like alcohol, like, oh, here I am in rehab again, or drug addiction or porn or whatever it may be. Here I am again, here I am again. So yeah, and this is where I guess this is where I find myself again. And what happens when he finds himself there again? The chorus, Kyrie eleison, down the road I must travel. Lord have mercy, Kyrie eleison, through the darkness of the night. Kyrie eleison, where I'm going, will you follow? Kyrie eleison, on a highway in the light. I love that. So, and so, yeah, he finds himself there again, but yet that's when he calls on the Lord. When he, oh, here I, oh, I'm here again. What do I do? I don't wallow in my own self-pity. I call on the Lord to help me yet again, like I did the last time. But again, I like that he's calling on the Lord and not giving up.
Sure. Well, and I love the choice of words there, because it's the reality of down the road I must travel. Because again, when you ask for God's mercy, it's not for him to pick you up and just place you somewhere else. He is walking with you. He is illuminating the path of take this step, take this step, take this step. Because again, we have to walk that journey. If we don't want to end back up between the soul and soft machine, we have to find ourselves walking the path with God's help and his mercy, so that we know, okay, this is how I get here, so that I don't go down the other road that seems much more familiar and is much more of a habit for me.
Yeah, and through the darkness of the night, because that's what it feels like, the dark, the deep darkness. Where I'm going, will you follow? Yeah, of course, the Lord's, Lord have mercy. Are you going to be with me? Are you sure? The confidence, I love how David in the Psalms, is just confident that the Lord, yeah, I know you're going to be with me. He may not be there right now, but I know you're going to be there. And he's asked the question, are you going to follow? Are you going to be with me in this? On a highway in the light. That's it. So through the darkness of the night, there's that hope. There's that beacon of light. The light at the end of the tunnel, as we say sometimes, the light that shines in the darkness. And that's Jesus. He is the light that penetrates the deepest darkness, that penetrates that pain in our soul with his light of love and mercy and truth.
Yeah, and think about this too. I love, as a songwriter, I love the imagery of highway in the light, because again, we're not slowing down, we're on the highway, right? So we're going
Yeah,
at a
that's
certain
right.
speed, and so with God's mercy, I'm still going to go with the speed that I'm at, because I'm on this highway, I'm on this road, but God is illuminating where I'm going. It's like suddenly I understand how the GPS communicates to me. Go here, go here. And what does a GPS do when you get off route? It doesn't tell you you're wrong. It says rerouting.
Rerouting.
But it
That's
always
right.
reroutes you to an illuminated path, and it may show you multiple paths, and God sometimes does that. Okay, I'm giving you three options. If you t whichever one you take, I got you. But you know the path to take. One may get you there 10 minutes early, one may get you there an hour later, take the scenic route, so to speak. But again, you're on the highway in the light, which is Christ.
Yeah, that's it. And the highway could be scary because you're going pretty fast. Sometimes you're feeling a little bit losing control, on the highway there if you're not paying attention. So you have to keep your eyes focused on the road ahead. I love that. And then we get into verse 3, the last verse here. When I was young, I thought of growing old. I love that. That's very profound.
Yes.
Because I can remember thinking, oh, I can't wait till I get older. Because there were certain things you wanted to do that you couldn't do because you were told you're not old enough, right? Or you're too young, you can't participate. And so reflecting back on that time, of what my life would mean to me. So now he's looking back with perspective. When I was young, I thought of growing old. Here's what it means to be an adult, and I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to do that. I can't wait to be a doctor. I can't wait to, whatever the Lord has called me to, what my life would mean to me. Would I have followed down my chosen road or only wished what I could be? I love that. That's very, very profound, I think.
Yeah, and the thing too, when you process through your faith filter, it allows you to realize how much getting older didn't have all the perks that you and when was the last time you ate dessert first? I mean, all the things that we said, when I'm older, I'm gonna, but we also were processing, what does this mean? Why am I going through this? Am I here? Because I went through that several times, but specifically 2017 stands out as the most recent of just that. Lord, what decisions have I made that has put me in this position and here? What is it that you have done to orchestrate to get me here? And as these two point, those two truths meet, what does it mean moving forward? What am I to learn? How can I break my own cycle to be where I've always supposed to have been? So again, we can ask the meaning of life, but it's really the meaning of purpose, the meaning of position of where you're at.
Yeah, I love that. Would I have followed down my chosen road? And so that shows that we have choices and decisions that we make about what we do with our lives. And those are free decisions. And only wished what I could be. So there's almost a disparity there. Okay, I would I have followed down my chosen road? What I've chosen, or only wish that I could be, so he's, and we, I think we look back with, what if I would have done this instead of this, I was talking about this with, oh, it was on the tour with the Australian speakers, we're just in the car, one of our long drives through Texas, and we talk about faith, all kinds of things, music, all kinds of stuff, and one of the things that came up there was like, you ever think sometimes like, what if you made a different decision? Not saying that you regret your choice to be married and to have kids, but they said, Deacon, you ever think about what it's like if you would have stayed in a monastery, if you would have went back? And I do, that's true. I do think about that sometimes. I mean, I don't long for it because this is the path that God has me on, and I embrace it, I accept it. But yeah, every once in a while, yeah, I wonder what life would have been like if I would have done this. And all of us went around talking about, yeah, and all of us admitted, yeah, we think about it sometimes. Not again, not longing for it, not yearning for it, not regretting the decisions that we made, but understanding that, wow, life could have been very different had I chosen this path. And this verse reminds me, who do you make those decisions with? We make it ourselves, or do we make it with God?
Well, and it's people who, and I've been guilty of too, saying, well, if I knew then what I know now, but we weren't in a place to know it, and we had to walk the path to learn it. So if you had gone any other path, you couldn't just, again, you can't be plucked from the highway onto another spot in the highway at a certain speed of your life and expect it to just suddenly make sense and be, the country road versus the highway speed, like it's the choices that you've made, which God takes into account for your life, that he knows 10 million steps ahead. Okay, he's going to choose this, she's going to choose that, and this is where I'm going to show them my love. This is where I'm going to help them as they break their own hearts or have it broken by something else or someone else, and then I'm going to heal them through it, because then it's all a matter of what path and choices that are made so that we can see God. So if where you are is, no matter how much pain you had to endure and overcome, it put you in a place where you were closer to God. That is the reason why it happened.
Yeah, exactly. And at the time, when you're going through it, you felt you made the right decision at that time.
Yep.
Right? So it's not like, oh, flip a coin. No, it wasn't flip a coin. It was like, I, at this time, and you just have to trust that that was the decision that, that you were thinking and working with God at that time.
Amen.
You know, love that. Man, I love these Beacon of Truth playlist episodes. We go through some great songs and look at this from a faith perspective. I hope that was powerful for you. Now, remember, my friends, you can stream today's show and all the shows of Beacon of Truth, including this playlist episode and the Soulful Songs, by visiting Podcast Central at ew10.com/radio. And looking forward to being with you again tomorrow. And until then, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.